Good morning and happy Monday. This is Jordan Harms from KFUO Radio, and it is time for Daily Chapel. The text is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46, and the Reverend Hans Feeney is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 22nd chapter. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word. Not from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy on us. In a strange way, the Pharisees in our reading for this morning are entirely right about Jesus. They're entirely correct when they assume that he can be the source of their glory. Great problem, however, is that they're entirely wrong about how he can be the source of their glory. So after Jesus silences the resurrection-denying Sadducees with his superior understanding of the scriptures, the Pharisees can perceive the adulation that Jesus is gaining from the crowds. They see that he is gaining glory in the eyes of men, and they imagine that they can receive that glory for themselves if they take it from Jesus. Like a flag to be captured. If they can rip the glory out of his hands, it will be their possession. And so they come to Jesus with a question intended to trip him up. They ask him about the commandments, which of them is the greatest. Perhaps he'll answer in a way where they can accuse him of downplaying the other commandments, of holding to a low view of the law. Then they can expose the one who exposed the Sadducees and take his honor. But Jesus simply summarizes both tables of the law for them. He doesn't slip, doesn't stumble. He once again shows how worthy he is to be adored by the being faithful to the scriptures. All the glory remains in his hands. They haven't seized any of it from him. And then when the Pharisees are huddled up trying to figure out their next move, Jesus asks them about the Christ and whose son he will be. And this question certainly reveals the duplicity of the Pharisees. They refuse to answer how David could call his son, the Christ, his Lord, and not because they don't know the answer, but because they don't want to acknowledge the answer. They don't want to acknowledge what the miracles, the power over death and demons that Jesus has demonstrated reveals, that he is indeed the Christ. And they don't want to acknowledge what the scriptures clearly state, that Jesus, who is the Christ, is therefore the Son of God. They don't want to acknowledge any of this because they imagine that doing so would allow Jesus to pry open their hands and take whatever glory they have left. But the truth is that Jesus doesn't ask them this question because he wants to rob them of everything they have. He asks it because he wants to give them everything he has, because he has come to give the lost sheep of Israel all of his love, all of his mercy, all of his forgiveness, all of his inheritance, all of his favors, all of his Father's favor, and yes, all of his glory. This is a free gift he gives to all who believe in him. No matter how much the lost sheep of Israel hate and despise him, Jesus continues to love them. No matter how much the Pharisees try to enrich themselves by tearing Jesus apart, he allows himself to be torn apart at Calvary and swears to give all who trust in his wounds the glory that no man could have taken from him. No matter how much sinners try to pry open Jesus' hands and rob him of the glory of God, Jesus freely opens those hands and lets hateful men pierce them with nails, so that he can give the glory of God to all who come to him in repentance. So the Pharisees were right that Jesus could be the source of their glory, but they were wrong about how. Don't share their foolishness. Don't try to pry open Jesus' hands in order to buy yourself earthly acclaim. Don't use the name of Jesus to build up your reputation among men. Don't call Jesus your teacher like the Pharisees did if you're not actually going to be his disciple, if you won't follow his commands and love your neighbor as yourself, if you won't forgive those who've hurt you, if you won't lower yourself for those who need you and become a servant instead of seeking to be served. Don't cover yourself in the name of Jesus while clinging to your sins, while making yourself a slave to your flesh and your pride. Don't tell yourself that you're a good and faithful Christian because you love the liturgy or repeating the orthodox sounding words, while refusing to let go of the anger and the bitterness in your heart. Don't demand that Jesus give you the good reputation of being called a pious Christian, while you refuse to repent of the sins that prevent you from actually being one. All of that won't work. You will never succeed in prying open the hands of Christ. So repent, fall at his feet, and beg him to clothe you in the salvation King David saw that he would win. And there you will see that the hands that you could not pry open have already been opened for you. At the cross, you will see that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has come to save sinners, come to give eternal life to those who could not earn it, come to give eternal glory to those who dashed themselves to pieces after chasing earthly glory. In his wounds, Jesus made that glory your own. With his blood, he poured it out upon you. In his dying breath, he took away every ember of his Father's fiery wrath at your sins, and he covered you in the righteousness his Father sent him to give you, the righteousness that made you worthy of the kingdom. Do you want to be loved forever? Do you want to be surrounded by the never-ending songs of the angels? Do you want to be clothed in a radiant majesty far greater than any man could ever build? Do you want glory? You can have this all. You can't have it by stealing it from Jesus Christ, but you can have it by freely receiving it, by trusting in the one who is David's son, David's Lord, and your brother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.